POD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Before a crowd of hundreds who chant his name in adulation, Napier, Napier, Napier.
Let it begin.
Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Look up the dictionary definition of nicotine.
A toxic, colorless, or yellowish, oily liquid that is the chief active constituent of tobacco.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
It acts as a stimulant in small doses, but in larger amounts blocks the action of autonomic nerve and skeletal muscle cells.
Well, you're reading a different part. Do you see where it says, and it's valued as an insecticide?
Yeah.
You see, hey, that means I won't swallow any bugs.
There you go. and that's fine.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host Napier.
What's up?
Via Skype, the king of pranks, the albino alligator, Mr. Travis Hulse.
M-O-N-D-A-Y, night!
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND. Guys, let me tell you something. We got one hell of a program for you tonight.
Excellent.
The most important thing that we need to address is, Travis, I believe we need a ceiling update.
That is a fact.
There's nothing else in the world that I want to know more than what's going on with the ceiling.
Do you have a ceiling yet?
I don't have a ceiling yet. What's there is still the fiberglass and the boards.
Got a good chuckle earlier today when I was thinking about you coming over, because I thought about that Lionel Richie song and I started singing alternate lyrics. Oh, what a feeling when you got a fucking ceiling.
That would be goddamn amazing.
Napier, is there an update on the ceiling?
This Saturday, me and a buddy from work, we're going to do up our ceiling.
So it hasn't been done yet?
No, I told you it wouldn't be.
Of course, yeah, right. So, you know, Travis, what happened was, and I feel like these emails are coming to me as like angels of mercy that are calling out to me, Mike, you need to help. You need to help your friend Napes.
Help me what?
Got an email from a podcast guest match service.
Yeah.
That said, hey, would you like to have a procrastination expert on the show?
That sounds
And it
neat.
Came the day after we talked about it, Napier. And I feel like these are happening for a reason. That's why I played the clip of the cigarette whisperer, because the cigarette whisperer came to us a day after we had our conversation about how I got you started on smoking.
Yeah, you did.
And this guy appears, and he's going to help. He's going to help.
It's not me procrastinating. My buddy is going to help me with it.
It's you procrastinating.
No, it's when he could do it.
Travis, help me out. It's him procrastinating.
Well, I mean, he could find another guy. I guess.
Get a homie on Craigslist. You got your ceiling's gone.
Maybe. I don't know those people.
Oh, what a feeling when you got a fucking ceiling.
I wish I hadn't a ceiling.
Can I ask, is the ceiling that fell down, did you do any, is it still just in that heap?
No. We've cleaned it up whenever new chunks start to fall off of it. So
this is an ongoing problem.
Yeah, we have all the shit like packed up in like a barrel.
Have you had more issues with the mud daubers?
No, they're all dead.
Oh.
Thankfully. We haven't seen any more nests, but there's still about 30% of the ceiling left up there, so I don't know what else is going to fall down. I mean, there's 30% more could. It's not all fallen. Like part
you
of
know, every time you say mud dauber, I always think of that big dumb lug from Coach.
Dauber?
Yeah.
Every single time I think of just like dauber in the mud.
When you have that nickname, a certain type of a face comes to mind, right?
Yep.
It's not a handsome man. A
little downsy.
You know what happened after he left Coach, or you know, Coach ended?
Nothing.
He was in the TV miniseries The Stand.
No.
Oh, he was somebody's dad on How I Met Your Mother, and then he died.
Oh yeah, he was that's right.
And it was really sad when he died.
He's Patrick Starfish from SpongeBob.
He's also that. I'm sure he's doing just fine.
Yeah.
So how's everybody? Did everybody have a good 4th of July?
I think I ate too much delicious, salty Chinese food.
I had people wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning the next couple of days after 4th of July, speeding up and down the street. They were doing firework drive-by shootings.
Neat.
They were squealing their tires. Nice. And they were turning off the lights, and they were shooting fireworks at all the houses.
Was it Roman candles or bottle rockets?
What better way to celebrate the aftermath of the 4th of July, like possibly committing arson?
Yeah. So they were doing like drive-by shootings, but not with guns, but with Roman candles and
Roman candles
and the whistly bottle rockets.
Nice.
And they were like hanging out of their car. It was really cool. They were so fucking cool.
You know, in this neighborhood, that could get you shot. Like legit, somebody would shoot you.
Right. And then a couple nights after that, my house got egged. I've never had my house egged before.
Oh, I know all about that.
It was really exciting getting my house egged.
You remember that, didn't you?
When your house got egged?
Constantly.
Your house got egged multiple times?
Multiple times.
Well, I mean, way to make it about you, Napier. I wanted to tell my house getting egged story.
Okay. Tell us about
No. Let's talk about you. Like I haven't done enough for Napier this week, right, Travis? I got a procrastination
extra. Guest coming up.
I got you Chinese food.
Thank you. Thank you, by the way. That was very nice.
You're welcome.
So your house got egged multiple times? It was an epidemic?
Yes. For about a year, and I didn't know who was doing it until I had a very good idea who was doing it, because my mom called the cops after the eighth or ninth one, because they said, it's just dudes fucking around. And eventually that got, you know, old to my mom. So she said, nope, fuck it, we're calling the cops. The cops were like, hey, you know anybody who might have done that? And I said, yeah, I bet I know who did it. And the cop called the guy's dad. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning on a school night. The dad says, no, he's in his room. It's 1 o'clock at night. The cop says, how about you mind checking for me? He goes into the kid's room. He ain't fucking there.
Oh, no.
Oh, apparently
he's caught red-handed.
And apparently his dad was one of those drinking dads and just let his son fucking have it.
He was a drinking dad?
Yeah, he's a drinking dad.
Travis, are you a drinking
double
dad?
Double D? He's a double D?
Oh, yeah. Probably made him fetch daddy a beer in between beatings.
Now, cleaning up the
Maybe
egg.
Maybe beat him with it.
It was a son of a bitch cleaning up the egg.
Yeah, it is.
It's not an easy task.
No.
You got to catch it before the sun bakes it on.
Yep. And you are what I would describe as a slothful gentleman.
Yes.
So I'd imagine this constant egging, you probably just looked at it and said, why would I clean that up? They're just going to egg it again tomorrow.
No, I hit it with the hose.
Yeah, but hosing didn't do it. Hosen didn't do the trick for me. I had to get up there.
I got 80% of it
with a sponge.
Yeah, you probably
but that last to. 20. That last 20 is what gets you.
Yeah, that's the shit that bakes into your siding. Yeah, that stains your paint real good. Get you all
know, I'd
up.
Think after like the third or fourth time of my house getting egged, I would just sit in like a dark window with like a pellet rifle and just wait and just sit there patiently waiting.
I turned the other cheek, Travis. I'm not really sure what that means. Is turning the other cheek just like not worrying about it?
I think it's giving up.
Yeah.
It's not fighting back. It's just, you know, you clean it up and you move on, right? That's turning the other cheek, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I just cleaned it up. And then, like, you know, I noticed that the siding on the side of my house is kind of dirty. So I cleaned that too.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, now even better.
It did you a favor.
Yeah, they got me off my ass is what they did. They got me off my ass to go clean.
Maybe they should be the procrastination experts.
Right. Throw eggs on everything that you haven't gotten done.
Yep.
Exactly.
Ending to the story, the dude in question threatened me at school the next day, telling me never to call his dad again and all this other bullshit. And he said he didn't egg my house. I said, well, the cops don't give a fuck anymore, neither do I. How about you fucking handle it?
Yeah.
And magically, it stopped.
It stopped?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you tell him if your house got egged again, you're gonna cut him?
No, I told him if egg lands near my house again, I'll just call the cops on him.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it ain't going to be me who's doing it. And I said, hope you're home, dude.
I didn't call the cops. Because, I mean, you know, I call the cops and I say, hey, somebody egged my house. And I said, oh, okay.
Well, we'll look out for them.
We'll look out for guys who went grocery shopping recently. I mean, like, you know, what are they gonna do?
Well, yeah. You know, you could have let it bake on real good so you couldn't clean it up and it wrecked your siding and then filed an insurance claim.
It wouldn't have done me no good because mine's $5,000. Speaking of which...
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, I'm probably going to be looking for a new insurance plan soon.
That's a really good idea.
So I went to the poop doctor.
Nice. Excellent.
Because, you know, I've been having my stomach problems. And I went to the guy and I said, you know, hey, man, having this stomach problem. And he goes, how long have you been having it? And I was like, oh, yeah, like 5 months. He goes, oh, that's a significant amount of time. And what you're describing to me, it doesn't sound normal. So he sent me to a lab to give him my blood and my poop.
Excellent.
And, you know, I talked to him on a Friday or like a Thursday or something. And then it was like the 4th of July. And then it was like a weekend. And there was a whole lot of days in there that I just couldn't get up there. And like in that time, you know, like every time I would take a poop, I would be very, like, regretful because, you know, like, I made a good one that I thought would be a good one to have given to them.
So you're saying the one you gave them wasn't nasty enough?
Well, I haven't given them one yet. I went today, and they took my blood. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, your blood just shoots right the fuck out of there, doesn't it? I mean, like, they put those things in, and they fill those bottles fast.
Oh, here's something I learned. Everybody in the world should know this. When a nurse or a doctor is drawing blood from your arm, it shouldn't burn.
No, it didn't burn. It came out really fast. And then she gave me these two little bitty jars to put my poop in.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were some really small little containers. And I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at the little jars, and I'm looking back at her, and I said, how do I get it in there? And she said, oh, well, you need to do your business on a piece of foil, and then you get a little plastic spoon, and you spoon it into these jars. And then I guess you crumble up. She didn't go beyond that, but, you know, I guess you crumble up the foil and throw it away.
No, and, thanks. I'd rather die.
But then she said, you got to freeze it. You got to completely freeze your poop before you bring it up there. Or, like, you can bring it up there within an hour of making. You know what I'm saying? And so, but then, I mean, you still got to wait in line, and that timer's ticking. So you don't want to wait, be up there within an hour. You want to be up there like really quick because you might have to wait a while.
Why don't you just yell, "I've got fresh shit"?
So I gotta put this Duke, this fresh Duke, in my freezer to freeze it. And like, I don't want to put this Dookie in my, like, then there'll be like Dookie air in my freezer with all my food, right?
Ziploc it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a sealed container, so you Ziploc it and then throw it into like a plastic Walmart bag or something,
but
and
still,
then tie that
Travis,
up.
It's
well, like, get all your tombstones out of the freezer before you put your fecal
matter. Where am I
going to
put
there?
All that then?
In your belly
you,
to make the
go
poop.
Ask Drunk if you can borrow one of his freezers.
Yeah, he's got extra.
Drunk, can I bring a box of tombstones over? I gotta put poop in my freezer.
No, this is what you do. You foil wrap the poop jar and leave it at Drunk's, and then when it's time to go over, like, hey, can I pick up that package I left at your house? Then just take it on to the little place.
So do you have to
keep funny
it?
It's funny that she told me to put it in foil. Like, you know, she had like a whole plan, you know? And I guess she's like given it a lot of thought because that's her business to know. I'm sure I'm not the first person to ask, you know, how you can duke in this little bitty thing.
Well, then you're going to have to obviously throw the spoon away or whatever you use. So why don't you just put it in like the jars in a 5-gallon bucket, and sit on the 5-gallon bucket and pray that you make it directly into the jars.
I think I'm just going to diagnose myself as cured and not worry about it. I think that's what I'm going
to
do because
well,
because
you got to think about it. You're going to have to go out because they'll probably want it to remain frozen too. Like, what are you going to transport it in, like an igloo? You might have to go buy like a Yeti cooler and spend all that money to make sure it stays frozen on the way to the hospital.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Like, it will need to stay frozen, right? Or maybe like the timer on that hour starts like when I take it out. No, because that wouldn't make sense because then it would be just like fresh. Travis, how am I going to... I guess I'm just
don't you have a lunchbox?
They didn't even offer to let me make there.
Did
that
you have
seems
to?
Wrong.
No, and I want to give them a good one, too. Like, I got home, and I felt like I had to go, and Laura said, hey, why don't you take that thing in there and just do it? And I said, no, I don't feel like this is going to be a good one. You know?
I don't think there are bad ones. And you want to give them
yeah,
poop?
It's just, yeah, it's poop is poop when it comes to, like, medical diagnosis. What you need to do is you just need to go and shit out in the yard and then just pick it up with, like, a plastic, like, an inverted
but
Ziploc
you can't
bag.
Get toilet water in it. You can't get pee in it. You can't get anything in it. It can just be pure poop.
Bullshit.
Right
because
out of the
when
tap.
When you have to bring a pile of shit in for a veterinarian to diagnose a dog, you pull that. It's not like you're sitting there waiting for the dog to shit with your hand underneath its anus.
Do you have like
you pick
restless
it up out of the yard,
leg syndrome
in.
Or something?
Me?
What's going on? Like my everything's bouncing. Why is everything bouncing?
Oh, that's me.
You have what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Does it affect anything?
I imagine so.
Okay, then I'll stop.
What are you doing?
Shaking my leg.
Why?
I don't know. I do that sometimes. I fidget.
It's got the spirit tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not a healthy guy. I don't eat healthy. I don't exercise or anything. But, right. Like, I'm aware of, like, what right and wrong is. And I'm kind of, like, conscious about everything.
So why don't you just eat better and exercise?
See, that's what I thought was going to happen when I went to the stomach doctor. I thought he was just going to say, well, do you eat like shit? And I was going to say, yeah. And he was going to say, well, stop eating like shit. And then that would have been the end of the thing. But now we're doing like a whole thing. I'm going and getting a camera in my butt.
How much blood is in your stool on a day-to-day basis?
Not any. But at
you're
the end of
probably fine.
The end of September, they're going to put me out, and they're going to stick cameras in my butt.
Yeah, they don't do that unless they think that the symptoms that you've had for an extended period of time are not normal, because I eat like shit, too, and I feel bad for a day or so, and then that goes away. Usually, if it lasts that long and they do all those tests, they're wondering if they're going to have to take out some intestines or something. Because you eat fast food literally every day, it's probably not great.
I don't want them to take out any intestines.
Yeah, they probably won't.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to tell you to, you know, watch your diet.
I'll be so pissed off. See, at the same time, I'll be devastated if something's wrong with me. But at the same time, like, if nothing's wrong with me, I feel like I'll be pissed off that I even bothered to go do all this. Then it'll be like, you know, why am I freezing my poop when everything's fine?
I'm sure there are worse things they can tell you than all good to go.
But then I was just being a hypochondriac, you know? Then it was all for naught, and then I should have just... saved my time and money.
Well, not if you
not
told the doctor.
Cameras in my butt.
Not if you told the doctor what your symptoms were, and he's like, "Ooh, how long?" And you said how long you've had it, and he's like, "Yeah, that's not okay." Like, doctors usually know if you're being a hypochondriac.
Most do. Probably.
See, that's are what you I a was hypochondriac? Expecting in the chat. Jack is saying that when he went to the hospital, they had a little collecting bowl that they attached to the toilet seat. I thought that's what I was getting. I thought they were going to, you know, have me just like saran wrap the bowl closed, you know, once I made in the toilet. But it's not the way it went. They
make your own
little bitty baby food jar.
Just
make your own collected, like do your own saran wrap trick.
Here's what you do. Go out to like a dollar store, get yourself a good sized bucket. Shit in the bucket, put enough shit in the little jars so that you got your shit jars together, and take it to the doctor. There, problem solved.
Say, here you go.
You fixed me.
Yep.
Here's the shit you requested.
If it makes you feel any better, I don't know what bad is. It's been so long. So good on you.
Are you, I mean, you don't, like, go to the doctor or anything.
No.
You don't. You don't do any preventative anything. That's another thing is, you know, I've just kind of, as my health has gotten worse and worse and I've felt awful all the time, I've just said, I guess that's what happens when you get older.
How you feel today is my every day since I was 17. So.
And maybe it's not.
You have to take every couple of hours, probably about every 5 to 6 hours. I've taken one of those, Zantac pills, or else my stomach feels like it's trying to eat through my esophagus.
Yeah.
Every day. I have to take one when I wake up. Got to take one at exactly 11. Don't fuck with that 11. Then I normally take one about the time I get home, which is about 5, 6 o'clock, and then I'll take one before bed.
Oh. You take 4 Zantac a day?
Every day.
Yeah, I think that's on the box, Travis. I think it says, like, don't take more than, like, 2 or 3 a day.
Have to.
I didn't even think you were supposed to take that many. I thought they were like a 24-hour thing.
I don't get the 24-hour ones.
No, what do you mean you have to?
I have to.
I do, too. I take Omeprazole every single morning. Otherwise, my throat seizes up, and then I get reflux like a son of a bitch.
Yeah. Remember that whole thing where I couldn't talk? Remember that? You were giving
Zantac?
Me shit? Yeah, I have to take Zantac every single day, 4 times a day, or I can't talk.
You don't think that's like a sign of something different?
Yeah, I probably live like shit.
What they'll do if you actually go to the doctor to fix that problem, because if it's the same problem that I have, it's like the calcium that's around your esophagus is supposed to kind of be flexible.
Yeah.
And after years of treating yourself like shit, it like those little like circles like harden. And then it causes like reflux. And then if you eat something, like it'll get stuck in your throat and you feel like you're going to choke. And then, but to solve that problem, they'll take you and put you on the operating table and they'll put a big old balloon down your throat and they'll inflate it until all of that hardened stuff goes snap, 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 snap. And I have no interest in having that done whatsoever.
You know,
Travis,
that does sound like a good idea.
Series of experts on the show. To have them give up.
Fix us?
Like,
yeah, well,
the cigarette whisperer, like pretty soon after he started talking to us, he realized that he wasn't going to get anybody to stop smoking. So then he just started saying a bunch of curse words.
Yeah, how'd it work?
And do you think that like we're going to have this procrastination expert on? And I'm going to tell
I'm
him,
not procrastinating.
I'm tell
I don't
him about,
have shit tons of money.
I'm going to tell him about Napier's shower. And I think
that wasn't my shower. That was my mom's shower.
He's going to throw his hands up in the air and say, I've found a nut I can't crack, Travis. I found a nut I can't crack.
I think that's what we hope is that we can shut these self-help people right down. They go work at Burger King because they just throw in the towel.
You know who doesn't go to self-help experts? People that don't give a shit.
Shitty people who aren't going to get better?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't want that whole you have to want to change, if you don't want to change, it's not happening.
I'll tell you what, guys. We are going to go on break. We are going to do our little break thing. We're going to get Eric Twiggs on the program. And we're gonna talk to him about procrastination. We're going to fix Napier is what we're going to do.
Good luck.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for everybody, you know, for being here. The chat's filled out pretty good.
I love all of you.
Appreciate all of you. We'll be back.
Here is another financial tip from Drunk.
Drug dealers don't break large bills.
WFOD! Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Transformers finished with 29 points, bringing in $102 million with a 28% Metacritic. They've been safe bets in the past because they just make so much money. This one didn't do all that much. I guess we've all wised up and stopped supporting horse shit. That's it, right? Despicable Me 3, Podcheese's first overall pick, brought in $149 million with a 48% Metacritic. It's probably the money we were expecting, but the critical reception was pretty crappy. This will finish off Podcheese with 163 total points for their four films, which combined made less than Guardians of the Galaxy 2. That means the only thing left in play is if the Lotus Cast films can catch Not Safe for Water Coolers, of a total of 281. We're solidly in third, and it looks like Podcheese is adios amigos. Sorry, guys. Spider-Man put up $117 million this past weekend and doesn't have much competing with it next weekend, so look for that to be a distinct possibility. I'm rooting for the Lotus Cast. Can you imagine if Jim wins? How insufferable he'll be? Gross. Totals for Spider-Man, and an idea of how Planet of the Apes is doing next week.
There is no next time. There is no second chance. There is no time out. Strangelabel.com.
Whenever there's something I'm supposed to do, I'll do anything other than the one thing that I'm supposed to do. And then I feel bad about myself, and then I get depressed, and then I really don't get anything done because I'm depressed. And I told a friend of mine about this problem, and she said, you should go to therapy. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, wait a minute. Why should I pay a stranger to listen to me talk when I can get strangers to pay to listen to me talk? So that's when I came up with the idea of touring, and I thought, now I have to write a show. So I thought, what do I want to say? What do I want to talk about? So I sat down at my desk, and I was staring at my desk, and I thought, wow, that's dusty. I can't write with my desk all dusty like this. So I went downstairs to get a rag. And on the way downstairs, my kitten was on the stairway playing with a piece of dust or something. And I went to pet the kitten because it did the thing where they roll on their back and show you the belly. And you got to reward that. You can't pass that up. So I sat down. I was petting the cat for about, I don't know, 45 minutes, something like that. And then I went downstairs. And by that time, I'd forgotten why I went downstairs. And I was staring around trying to remember, and I thought, I should paint this room.
Yo, DJ, pump this party! While it's your time, you know you're gonna be mine. You know you're gonna be mine. You know you're gonna be mine. While it's your time, you know you're gonna be mine. You know you're gonna be mine. You know you're gonna be mine. While it's your time, you know you're gonna be mine. You know you're gonna be mine. You know you're gonna be mine.
You know you're gonna be mine. You know you're gonna be mine. You know. guys. Welcome back. Our guest tonight is a procrastination prevention partner whose new book, The Discipline of Now, is available now. Go to ericmtwigs.com for more information. Eric Twiggs is with us. Hi, Eric.
Hello. Glad to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Eric, is there worry that anyone who either purchases your book or was gifted the book will never actually read it? I mean, they've been meaning to, but, you know, some other things came up and they just got sidetracked. And...
Yeah, it's this procrastination thing's a serious problem. That's why I tried to make the book as readable as possible. It's only 100 pages.
Oh, that's a quick read. That's a quick read.
Right, quick and easy.
Do you have something that jumps right out at people at the very start?
Yeah, so the way I set the book up is that you can't continue until you do the interactive exercises. So in each section, you know, I tell a personal story, and then we get into a specific point, and there's a point in the book where you stop, read, and act. And I even say in the book, hey, look, I don't give you permission to continue yet. You have to do this exercise. So it's designed with the procrastinator in mind, because if you keep reading on, you won't apply the principles.
And what if I also have an apprehension to authority, though? You're telling me you don't give me permission, and I say, no, sir, I will continue.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So in the book, it talks about we talk about the different personality types, and if you are a type A personality, that could be an issue for you, where you have so the whole point, it's about awareness, and the goal of the book is to kind of bring to your awareness some of the things that may cause you to procrastinate. So if it's one of those things where it's like, hey, you're not the boss of me, hopefully read through the book, you become aware of that, and we start moving forward.
What was it that made you want to write this? Are you a procrastinator yourself, and this is what worked for you, or?
Well, let me put it to you this way. It took me 6 years to write a book about overcoming procrastination. So that should tell you what you need to know. But no, so what motivated me to write the book is, so I've done, roughly over 28,000 coaching sessions with entrepreneurs. And so if I have an entrepreneur, you know, you have the good, those entrepreneurs that consistently got good results, and you have the ones that consistently achieve great results, their level of know-how is pretty similar. They know a lot of the same things. What separates the good from the great is that the great have this ability to take action whether they feel like it or not.
So why do people need to tackle actual procrastination?
Get stuff done, man. Get stuff done. He asked, why do people need to tackle procrastination? Why is it important?
I mean, it'll get done eventually.
Well, it's critical because there's a hidden cost. And you can be hurting yourself and not realize it. See, a lot of times when you procrastinate on a project, there's no big alarm or bell that goes off. But over time, you've hurt yourself. You know, you're not, like, for example, in the book I talk about, there's this link between innovation and preparation. So if you wait till the last minute on a creative project, it's not going to be as good. And so if you're on the job, you're wondering why you're getting passed over for promotions, but it could be because you're waiting until the last minute. So that's why the procrastination has these hidden costs, and it's very important that we address it.
Let's say, I feel like, you know, I'm a man of leisure. And in my downtime is paramount to me. And I guess I'm also kind of a defeatist, because I also kind of feel like, you know, if I get this stuff done, then there's just going to be more stuff. And it's a never-ending sea of things. I mean, as a homeowner, Travis, you know what I mean, right? I mean, you
Absolutely.
Do this home project, and there's going to be 20 more damn home projects.
2 years ago, I had a gutter hanging down from my house, so I just took that section of gutter down and never replaced it.
See, now, Eric, the reason that I asked you to come on the show is to help my pal Napier here, because a quick story about Napier. And see, Napier's ceiling is gone now, so this is the one that we're struggling with now. But Napier, when he lived at home with his mom, when he was in high school, their shower broke, and they banged out the wall of to the shower because they thought that they would be able to fix the shower themselves. And then they looked at it and saw that it was too complicated for them to just do. And so they just put a towel over it and took baths for 15 years. And so this is the kind of guy that we're dealing with, Eric. And I imagine that, you know, I tell you a story about a man who took baths for 15 years because he didn't want to fix his shower. It's a tough nut to crack, Eric. But now his ceiling's gone, and I'm concerned. This is my friend. And so the day after he told me this story, I got the email that said that you were available. And I said, my God, they've sent me an angel here. We're gonna fix Napier is what we're going to do.
Wow, yeah, Napier, you definitely sound like you definitely have some challenges with procrastination.
What do you think, are there some simple steps that he can do to begin combating that procrastination?
Well, so in the book I talk about some of the common causes of procrastination, and normally it's you're trying to avoid some type of pain. That's a common cause. It's fear and it's pain avoidance. So I guess my question would be, what are you afraid of? What are you avoiding that's causing you to procrastinate?
I don't know how to hang drywall. And I have a buddy that does, and he's got a drywall thing. And he can't come over till next week.
He's got a drywall thing, Eric. He's got a drywall thing. So he doesn't have a ceiling. His ceiling fell out, and he just doesn't use that room. He just blocked that room off. He's just not going to use it.
So what we find is it's very common that if you have a complex project like that, for example, and it's like, okay, it's so complicated, I don't really know what to do. So the easiest thing is to do nothing. What helps is taking it one. What's a simple step you can take to move that forward? Like, what's one simple thing you can do?
Swept up all the insulation. I mean, that's a start.
All the fiberglass is no longer on the floor.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Good job, Napes. You took the first step.
Yeah, and it just one. I would say no matter how simple the step is, just keep taking that next step.
I'm thinking about knocking the other 30% of the ceiling out because, why not? And there's only 30.
Just open things up.
I mean, there's 30% left. I mean, just let the rest of it fall down.
I guess that's something that you can do to kill some time is just take out the rest of your ceiling.
Yeah, I got a hockey puck. I can just throw hockey pucks at the ceiling till it falls down. I mean, it won't take too many.
And so, like, for me, I'm not the drywall guy. I've come to the realization I'm not that fix it. And usually when I try to invest a lot of time in these home projects, it doesn't end well. I know that about myself. So I have a guy that I call. So sometimes it's really kind of utilizing other resources.
So it's important to have a guy.
Well, I have a guy. He just can't come out until Saturday.
Maybe you should have Eric call him.
Well, you know, he's got
his own. Eric call the guy and be like, you know, hey, man, why is it taking you 3 weeks to get over to Napier's house?
He's got other projects. I mean, he does contracting on the side. You know, I'm not his only friend.
I don't know him, but you may want to call another guy. I don't know.
You get a guy on Craigslist. You can't live without ceilings, Eric. If we could take one thing away from this conversation, it's that houses should have ceilings in them.
I'm going to call somebody on Craigslist. Some meth addict is going to come into my house. He's going to try to hang drywall with a hammer. He's going to fall down my damn stairs into my basement, and then he's going to sue me. And then I'm going to have to spend $5,000 on a deductible that I don't want to spend.
Irrational fear of meth heads.
Right, and I think that's what we're getting to here in the root of Napier's fear.
There you go.
So,
see, this has been helpful. This has been helpful already.
So you're selling the book on your website. Is it on the Amazons and the...
So it's on my website. It's ericmtwigs.com/ The Discipline Now. It is also available. Actually, I have a direct link to Amazon directly through my website as well. If you wanted a paperback copy, if you go through my website and hit the button, follow the prompts, I'll actually sign it and send it. So,
Do you have the social medias, Eric, somewhere that people can get a hold of you out through there?
Yes. I mean, you can access me through Twitter at The Discipline of Now, which is the title of the book. I'm on LinkedIn.
It's a lot of characters. There's too many characters, right?
Well, he doesn't want people saying too much to him.
The Discipline of Now, that all fit?
Yeah, believe it or not, it all fit.
That's a good handle. I like that.
The Discipline of Now. You can follow me on Twitter and get procrastination prevention tips on a regular basis. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook, Eric M. Twiggs.
Awesome, man. And so, yeah, if you're battling with the procrastination, you're not getting nothing done, you reach out to Eric. You check out his book, The Discipline of Now, on Twitter. You tweet him. You tell him you heard him here. The WFOD bump, Napier. That's what we're giving to Eric.
Excellent.
So you see a big uptick in clicks over there. Eric, thanks for hanging out with us a bit, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Had a great time, guys.
You take it easy,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Eric.
All right.
I don't think we fixed Napier.
Well, I'll tell you what.
We're still not going to get that damn ceiling fixed.
I don't need to be fixed. My ceiling does.
I'll tell you what. I think I'm going to finally finish up that book I started writing 14 years ago.
What's the book called?
Travis, tell us about this book, buddy. What's it about?
It's a noir-ish private investigator story. It's a Conrad Brock mystery called Daddy's Little Girl.
Conrad Brock?
Yep, he's a PI that I made up in my head. Yep, Conrad Brock.
Private investigator. You ever notice private investigators never have, like, shitty names?
I have another one, another private investigator that I have a series of books written in my head that I've never actually put on paper with a name that I'm equally as proud of, but that one I'm going to keep close to the vest.
I was procrastinating the other day, and I got on some weird thing where I was shirking my work duties by trying to find out more information on the band Crazy Town.
Nice.
You know, where are they now? What are they doing?
Did you get your work done?
No. I just fucked around on the internet looking up Crazy Town. Crazy Town does their official website is crazytownband.net. They don't even have.
They couldn't even get crazy.
They didn't spring for it.
They even added band song at the end.
They're currently touring.
They are?
Yes. Crazy Town. Well, Crazy Town,
one
Travis.
Song?
There's one guy left from the original Crazy Town. It's like the singer guy, he's out there with a whole different group of guys doing the Crazy Town thing. I don't think Crazy Town's Twitter account is verified.
No.
I think Crazy Town has really fallen off in popularity since their big hit Butterfly, You're My Sugar Plum Fairy by...
Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, a sugar, a baby. My favorite scene in the movie Orange County, starring Colin Hanks, was that song. I think was at the root of its popularity, and they go to a frat party, and all these broads start synchronized dancing to that song.
See, the problem, Travis, is I've never like had to show my poop to someone
yet.
I mean, like, well, you know, there's been poops that I've been proud of that, you know, in my early days, I took pictures of them and then sent them to people, you know, like, hey, look at this poop. But, like, I'm under a lot of pressure. You know, like, this poop is, like, going to be viewed by professionals that, like, look at poop for a living. And I want my poop to be, you know, impressive. I want my poop to be, you know, a good poop for them to look at.
It's like showing a doctor your dick. You're not going to impress them.
You know, I mean, like...
This is...
If you take your painting to a gallery and you put it in a gallery with other paintings, it will be judged, you know, by people who look at paintings. You know, people who have already looked at many paintings that day. And you want your painting to impress them. You want your painting to be a reflection of yourself, to truly tell them, you know, hey, I've made this thing. Don't you think it's neat?
Mike, this is not Westminster, and you're not trying to win best in show. These are medical professionals trying to diagnose a problem that you may or may not have.
But don't you think that sometimes...
No, because they're going to put it in something that's going to smash it into... And they're going to add
stuff. Oh, no,
stuff
they're going to smash it?
And yep. They're going to put it under microscopes or through little machines. It's not going to look like what you present to them.
So I don't want to give them a hard one so that they can smash it better, right?
Well, they might be able to cut it easier if you give them a hard one. They might be able to chunk it out better.
Yeah. Oh, so do I want it? Would it be more ideal for them, Travis, if I gave them a hard one or like kind Probably. Of a soft one? Because a soft one might get a little bit messier and they wouldn't be able to cut it as well and form it into the shape they need.
It'll be also harder for you to deal with, so I would just try to get it as solid as possible.
You should go out and grab a dog's poop, stick it in your little jar, and make them get all confused.
What do you think they would say?
This is dog shit.
So the other day I was at work, right, and I was waiting for the elevator, and while I was waiting for the elevator, this giant spider was walking along the floor, and I observed it, and it was kind of an intimidating, scary looking spider. You know, it was a bit hairy. It was kind of brown. It had like a tan stripe down it, mm-hmm. And like, you know, it was big enough that you could kind of see its face.
Ugh.
You know what I'm saying? It was big enough that it had like a face, and I'd say it was probably like about the size of like a washer, you know, like the washer you play washers with.
Yeah.
Not like a normal washer, but like a washer's game-sized washer.
That's a good-sized fucking spider.
And so, you know, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, you know what? Not today, buddy. And so I went to the break room, and I got a plastic drink cup, and I just placed the plastic drink cup over the spider and then got on the elevator and went upstairs.
You didn't like put a piece of paper under
nope,
him? Or?
Nope. Just left it there.
But somebody's going to move that cup.
Probably.
They're probably going to be really fucking freaked out.
Probably. Not my problem, right?
I guess not. No.
Yeah. But you know, I didn't kill him. It's like that, what's the cat in the box?
Schrodinger's cat?
Yeah. I mean, that cat's probably dead.
But he could be alive.
He could be alive.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But I did my due diligence. I took care of the spider problem. I trapped him. And what somebody else does with it ain't my fucking problem.
I guess spider's problem, ain't it?
Spider's problem.
Yeah.
So what did we learn, guys?
Eating too much Chinese food before a show, it's not good.
Are you going to get your ceiling fixed?
Yes, I'm getting it fixed on Saturday.
I worry about you. You know I worry about you. I worry all the time.
Mike, I bought a fishing pole.
Why?
I want to go fishing.
Have you ever been fishing before?
When I was 5.
Where did you buy a fishing pole at?
Cabela's.
You went to Cabela's?
Not to buy ammo or firearms, but...
You went to buy a fishing pole?
Yes. Got me a $45 fishing pole.
Is that... I don't know what the price of fishing poles are.
It's a cheap fishing pole.
I mean, $45 seems like a pretty decent fishing pole. I feel like I could get a fishing pole a lot cheaper than $45.
Oh, yeah, you could.
But it's not top of the line, but no, it's...
It's a decent fishing
pole. Decent fishing pole.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get cheap, shitty Walmart brand fishing poles at Cabela's. Cabela's is for people who take sporting seriously.
Yeah, I got their branded fishing pole, the King Cat 2. So I'm going to take it and go fishing because I got to learn how to fish. Because I got a little one coming. Little one's going to want to know how to fish.
So.
Got to take him fishing.
You're going to learn how to fish.
Yes.
In just time to teach your son how to fish.
Daughter.
How to fish.
Just hire a guy.
Hire a guy to fish for you.
Yeah. Like,
take the kid to a learn to fish program?
Hire a guy program? To come pick up your daughter to fish. Like, say, hey, she wants to go fishing today. You want to take her out? And then you don't go.
Yeah, they have those. It's a learn to fish program. The state does it.
But don't you have to go with them?
Somebody does. It doesn't have to be me.
Yeah, I would just not do that. I'd call somebody that came to pick her up, took her to the lake, fished with her, and then brought her back.
Don't you go fishing with your little ones, Travis?
No, I do not.
You don't take your children fishing?
No, I do not care for fishing.
You don't like it?
I have no interest in it. I don't want to touch a fish. I don't want to pull a hook out of a fish mouth. I don't want to put a worm on a hook. I don't want to clean a fish. Just serve me the fish. You catch the fish. You fillet the fish. You give me the fillet of fish.
But yeah, Travis, I used to love fishing when I was a kid, but if you really think about it, fishing's pretty fucking stupid.
No, you get
boring. It can be relaxing, but I mean, so can sitting in a boat and not fishing.
It's like, the same thing I don't understand about all the deer hunters. They all claim that it's like just they do it for the hunt, the thrill, the hunt, and the meat and whatever. It's like I go to the store, I buy my meat. I don't need to sit in a cold ass deer stand waiting for an animal to come by to get a bite to eat and then blow his fucking head off.
I was with you 100% until catfish in my area got to $9 a fucking pound.
So it's an economical choice.
I can just I went to the store. They said, okay, you want some catfish, $9 a pound. I live a stone's throw away from a river with catfish in it. I can just go to the river and get catfish. I don't have to spend $9.
There's probably, after you buy a fishing license from the government, which allows you to do it, then there's probably a limit on how many catfish you can legally grab.
10 of one species and 20 of another in the same day. I can literally go out, pay like $12 to get a fishing license for the entire year, go out to the river that's next to my home,
How do you know all this if you haven't had a fishing pole since you were five?
No, Travis, I think you're forgetting
in the internet age.
The old saying that if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But if you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for his entire life.
No, if you make fishing not worthwhile, as in it's like $5 a pound, I'll go get your fish at the supermarket. You start charging me $10 goddamn dollars a pound for fish, I'm just going to take my happy ass over to the river and get me a fish.
So you got a fishing pole, and that was, you said, what, $54?
$45.
$45, and a fishing license is another $12.
For a year.
So we're at, what, $56?
Well, I also got to get some lures and some hot dogs.
Okay, so
add another $50.
$56.
You can buy 10 pounds of fish.
Yeah, we got the lures, you said, another $10, so we're at $66.
Yeah.
Travis, do me a favor while we're talking. Go to HomeDepot.com. Hmm? Let me know when you're there.
Okay.
Yep, look up the price of drywall.
Drywall is incredibly cheap.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, like $6 a pop.
So you think you could get enough drywall to do a ceiling with that fishing money?
Mike, I can buy drywall right now.
You just saying that you didn't have the money?
I don't have the money to put it up on my ceiling. I can't just heave this drywall on the ceiling and have my wife nail it to it.
I worry about you. I worry about the little flecks of insulation falling into your freshly caught catfish.
Yeah.
I worry about the mud daubers coming into your home and stinging your pregnant wife.
They're dead, and I found where they were coming in at. There was this access point to get into the attic.
So you could see it from your living room?
No, it was in the garage. The last homeowner took the door off of it. Like, there was a door with a screen and everything to keep the bugs out of it. The cocksucker took it off and left it
in the fucking crawl space.
Jack in the chat is recommending you go catch catfish.
Yeah.
And sell the catfish in the parking lot of the place that's charging you too much for catfish.
I think they frown on that. Not the cops. The cops probably don't give a shit, but, you know, the store that I'm doing it.
I have a better idea.
Yeah. Stay on the sidewalk. It's a free country. They can't do anything about
it. You go,
yeah, that's true.
You just drive up to random houses in like, you have to have a sense of urgency, okay?
Yeah, this is
I just
fresh
finished
fish.
My route.
You bang on the door. You say, man, let me tell you, I just made a delivery two streets over, and I still got too much meat.
And then can I tell them, oh, I remember you. I bled in your driveway.
My boss, he said, I got to get rid of the rest of this damn meat. I got catfish, man. You want to come out and look at the catfish I got in my car?
And he's going to look at me like, that's a RAV4. Like, yeah, dude, company vehicle. Fucking sweet perks.
They're asking in the chat if I've offered to help you fix your ceiling.
How about that?
I am the least handy person in the world.
Hey, you put a light fixture one time really close to your pantry door that every time you open the pantry door, it hit the light fixture.
Right.
You did that.
You put that up.
Yeah, the light fixture is... too close to the pantry door.
You so said that the previous owners put that
this
up.
Okay, guys. I don't know how long this cord is. Let's see if we can reach. So you can hear what happens.
I don't think that's going to reach.
Live programming here, guys. Live programming. We're in my kitchen. This is what happens when you open the cabinet door.
It's like an old-timey cartoon when somebody gets an anvil dropped on their head.
You hit the light because I put the light too close to the cabinet door.
I believe you told me the previous owners put that there.
I've been meaning to fix that, guys.
How are you going to fix that? You drilled a hole through your ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to get a smaller light fixture.
Yeah, I just cut a notch out of the cabinet, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe just not have cabinets.
Well, not that one.
Just put some shelves in or something.
Yeah.
Just put some shelves in. So, Travis, what's going on with you, man? We had a couple of weeks off. Obviously, you must have a pretty good story, right?
I don't have any stories. I am a little concerned, though. I did take the kids to see Spider-Man Homecoming yesterday, which I really, really thoroughly enjoyed.
How many references did they make to Hot Aunt May?
Oh, Christ. It was incessant. That part was unbelievable. Like,
too many references?
Tony Stark made like three comments. It was a running gag where guys were her and Peter were sitting in a restaurant and she got free appetizers. And the guy was making googly eyes at her. There was a good 12 references to how hot Aunt May is, which I mean, it's Marissa Tomei. So of course you're going to do that, but it got to be a little old, but all in all, the movie was really good. I liked it a lot. The kid is great. Michael Keaton is great as always. But the problem that I had was we bought our tickets, for the kids and I, and we got our snacks and they said it's in Theater One. And I walked to Theater One. And there was even a little sign, like a little paper sign that said, these are 2D showings of Spider-Man. 3D showings are in other theaters. It's like, okay, so we'll go in here. And we sat down. And once it started, I thought I was in the wrong theater because the previews before Spider-Man Homecoming, which you would say most Marvel movies are geared towards families and a wider audience, even though once in a while Iron Man will say shit or something. But it's PG-13, like a light PG-13. The previews in front of Spider-Man Homecoming started out with Christopher Nolan's World War II movie Dunkirk, with a bunch of Americans being machine gunned from high up above. And it was a long preview of people dying and screaming about war. And I was like, well, that's an odd choice to put in front of Spider-Man
Homecoming. It's a summer action movie.
It's a summer action, but it's a World War II. I don't understand. So
the guy who made the Batmans.
Yeah, but now he's making a World War II movie, and you're putting that in front of Spider-Man. That's fine. I was like, okay, that must have been, am I in the right place? I don't know. Let's see. The next preview was War for the Planet of the Apes, where
summer action movie.
A bunch of of primates are machine gunning humans while the humans scream about how they're going to wipe off the earth. They're going to get rid of all of the apes. They're going to murder them dead. It started with humans. It's going to end with humans. And that's so there's two previews for these movies, which don't get me wrong, I really want to see, but
oh yeah, monkeys with machine guns. Fuck yeah. I'm going to go see that. Monkeys with machine guns.
They're like showing monkeys mowing down a bunch of people and vice versa. I was just really confused why those previews were in front of lighthearted, jokey Spider-Man Homecoming. My kids were like, that I said when we walked into the theater that I'd wanted to see, there was a poster up for War for the Planet of the Apes. So my 5-year-old is like, oh, is this the movie you wanted to see? I'm like, yeah. And then it's just like a barrage of machine gun fire and dying apes and dying people. And he's like just sitting there with his eyes wide open, not making a peep. And I'm like, yeah, maybe this isn't the proper venue for this motion picture. I'm not sure.
What should be advertised before Spider-Man then?
Thor Ragnarok was, which made sense to me, but gotta be lighter fare coming up than a World War II movie where a bunch of Americans are stranded and hoping not to die, in a movie where the last population of humans on Earth fight these genius monkeys with machine guns and bombs.
Huh. Was Spider-Man Homecoming good, Travis? Did you like it?
It was fun. It, like I said, the kid was great. It was jokey. Just the right amount of jokey. Michael Keaton was great. Everybody was great. It was great. I loved it.
It was great?
Great. Marvel can't fuck up a movie. I keep waiting for them to fuck up a movie. And like, you know, I saw Doctor Strange in the theater and it dropped on Netflix. And I'm like, oh, I remember kind of liking Doctor Strange when I saw it in the theater, but I don't need to see it again. And I watched Doctor Strange last weekend again. I'm like, oh shit, that's right. Doctor Strange is fucking great.
Doctor Strange is pretty good. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Marvel has not blown a movie yet. And I keep waiting for them to screw up. And they
Ant-Man was fucking hilarious.
It's great. Thor 2,
I don't think I ever finished. I don't think I liked Thor 2.
No, it was serviceable. Thor and Thor 2 were fine. They weren't great, but they were, you know, decent movies. They weren't terrible movies.
Gonna go see Spider-Man tomorrow. Tomorrow's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Spider-Man. And then I'm gonna freeze my poop. And I'm gonna
go eat an Arby's Smoke Mountain.
Mike, you have to make it all smoky and good. Oh, go to Sugar Fire, get you some pulled pork.
Go to like delicious Chipotle. Buffalo Wild Wings and take the Inferno Wing Challenge.
Oh, God, yes. Leave them just some lining.
Side of that jar is just blasted with dried diarrhea.
Why does it smell smoky and sweet?
Like in the last 3 weeks, I've probably had Raising Cane's chicken fingers like an average of 4 times per week for the last 3 weeks.
Oh, that could be doing it.
Is that a themed restaurant based on the early 90s John Lithgow movie?
No, I think it has something to do with a dog, but the dog is probably named after that movie, you'd think. I mean, it's kind of like I don't know. But yeah, the dog's name was Raising Cain, and it's his restaurant. He's a dog that died, and this guy started... Man, Travis would love this place.
Oh, the chicken strip place?
Because
they don't got no... Does he not have chicken strip
places? It's named after a dead dog.
Yeah. Travis could get behind that.
So it's McDonald's. You don't see me going there.
Is McDonald's named after a dead dog?
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah.
McDonald's is named after the McDonald brothers.
No. McDougal's. It was the McDougal brothers. McDonald was their dog.
Travis, do you have like a pick? You'd say a pick of the week?
Well, I would have to say I'm going to have to divide my pick of the week between a television program I started watching on Netflix this weekend, And a television program that I started watching a couple of weeks ago. One on Netflix is GLOW, The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, starring Alison Brie and also Mark Marone, based in the world of ladies wrestling in the 1980s. Fun show. Mark Maron does a great job. I like that very much. And also the return to Twin Peaks. I am not completely caught up on the current episode, but I've been really loving how batshit crazy Twin Peaks is.
Is Twin Peaks like X-Files-y?
No, Twin Peaks is not like anything else. It's goofy and weird, and most of the time it makes no sense. But it's got Agent Dale Cooper, played by Kyle MacLachlan, which I like very much.
That's the guy who was in Showgirls.
And also he's the mayor in Portlandia, and in one of my favorite movies, The Trigger Effect, co-starring Elizabeth Shue, where she almost got naked, but didn't.
Do you remember that scene in Showgirls when they did it in the pool, and she, like, flopped around like a fish that had been taken out of the water?
You know, to be completely honest, I am almost positive I have never seen Showgirls.
It's Travis. Not a good movie.
Travis, you need to see like three scenes from Showgirls and skip the rest of the movie. I'll send you the scene I'm talking about later, Travis. Okay. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
All right. Or Jesse Spano does something crazy.
That Jesse Spano, that was a work of art, that movie. A
bold career choice.
Napier, do you have something you want the people to know about?
Guess my pick of the week is going to be Spider-Man Homecoming.
Have you seen it yet?
No, but I'm going to. Probably.
So your pick of the week is somebody a movie else that you haven't even seen yet.
Because it's somebody else's movie.
Your pick of the week is a movie that you haven't even seen.
Yes.
Get it's on Marvel. The hype train. And lose. In other Marvel news, did you see that AT&T girl from the commercials got cast as Squirrel Girl in the television program New Warriors?
Nice.
You know the AT&T I'm talking about? The one that no matter how dense people are in the store, she doesn't tell them to go kick rocks?
Yeah, she's friendly and helpful like Squirrel Girl.
Smiles and always answers questions. It turns out that broad is really hot. Nice. Saw some pictures on the internet.
My pick of the week is the newly revamped Gong Show, starring Mike Myers in character as the host, and then a rotating panel of celebrity judges. It's batshit. It's a lot of fun. And the most recent one had Dana Carvey as one of the rotating judges. And it's funny to see those two, who obviously don't like each other, both try to one-up each other.
Is Dana Carvey also in character?
No, Dana Carvey was just Dana Carvey.
Oh, okay.
But Mike Myers is the host in character as some British guy who tells everybody that they're cheeky monkeys. They're cheeky monkeys, Travis.
That's a real departure from his other work.
Who's a cheeky monkey? You guys are cheeky monkeys. And they say, the crowd says, no, you're a cheeky monkey. And I know it sounds stupid when I'm describing it, but it's actually pretty funny.
Excellent.
It's really weird. There's a lot of weird stuff going on.
What television network is that on?
It's on one of the big three.
One of the big three.
It's like NBC or Fox. It's probably NBC or Fox. It might be ABC, Travis. I don't want to be wrong, so I'm going to go say it might be CBS, too. It might be one of those four, Travis.
So one of the local channels.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's one of those.
All righty.
Guys, we'll be back next week. I'm sorry that we didn't fix Napier. We can try again. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, we'll get another guest.
We'll get somebody else to fix Napier. It'll just keep happening.
Unless your next guest is a bottle of vodka,
I don't care.
Hello, it's me, James T. Vodka. I'm here to help out Napier.
Well, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
It's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in, leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at WFODshow or facebook.com/WFODix. Email your comments to WFODshow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya, and Jody B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, it'd be really great if I could give money to the people who do that thing I like? Well, we made that possible. Go to WFODix.com and find it under the Extras tab. In turn, we'll say thank you at the end part of the show that everyone skips past. But you won't, because you're one of the good ones. You stay till the end. You'll never leave us. Right?
And it has Christopher Walken and Justin Timberlake in it?
And that's the, and this is a T?
Oh, that's what they're
like
selling?
Like a pomegranate tea. It looked kind of good.
Well, that buy shit is delicious. I got one for free one time with a coupon, and I drank it, and my taste buds literally like just like started like throwing a fucking party in my mouth. Like everything was popping in there and like tingling, and I was like, "Holy shit, this stuff is awesome!" Bye, later,
bye,
bye. But
bye, guys. They want, bye.
$3-4 for a fucking bottle of that shit. I'm not paying that kind of money.
Too much for some tea.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.